Okay, and Bandits. Mr. Lank, yeah. About bandit signs, or directional signs, which are those small signs that advertise developments and that kind of thing on the side of the road. And basically, as Mr. Lank can explain, the problem is that our code right now requires that if that sign is located on private property, that we have to give 30-day written notice to the property owner before we could even remove the sign. And the property owner may not even be aware it's there, but go ahead.
What David just stated was correct. We asked, months ago, we asked Bud if he would consider coming back to work for the county. And so, to work on the sign ordinance, Bud worked with the sign regulations for years with the for our office, and he went to the works for the Board of Adjustment, who sees a lot more sign issues than the council or the commission does. And in so doing, we started looking at all the sign regulations. We're trying to compile those now so we can make suggestions for corrections so we can then proceed with ordinances on signs. It's not only the bandit signs, we also have the size of signs on wall signs for buildings and the flashing, rolling, scrolling,
Whatever
taking whatever signs that we get on
today's,
some
bandits,
new, today's signs versus what we had based on regulation that were written in the 70s. The biggest issue that we've had, we're trying to deal with right now, is the bandit signs, as we're going to call them bandits. The signs that come in on Friday nights and get pulled up sometimes on Sundays.
Right.
Sometimes. And I know that the state has regulations for pulling the signs up in state right-of-ways, but the county doesn't, based on what Rick Burrow's interpretation is. So the state goes out and pulls up the signs in the state right away, and they have a fine method and a repurchase of your sign method also. They charge you $25, and they charge you $15 or $25 to get your sign back. It's a paper sign on a stick. I don't think most people are paying for that, but they are paying their fines. We don't have the authority based on code to go in and pull the signs up.
We just need to mirror the state law.
That's what we're trying to do.
Make it so simple.
And Rick's looking at it now so we can consider that.
These signs appear mainly at or near intersections?
Everywhere. Typically, there's 20 or 30 at an intersection. Sometimes
they're on private property.
2x3 or 2x2 and they're on stick.
If they're on private property, would we still have that right?
That's the problem we have. What's happened is that the state started pulling signs and finding them, so they started putting them on the property just behind the state right.
Outside the clear zone.
The problem I see is that near where I live, there by Hopkins Dairy Farm, there's 20-30 right on Mr. Hopkins' property. How are we going to take action against him for somebody who just plops these signs down on his property without permission?
And exactly right. I don't think any of them have permission. They just place them.
Sure. I think do we have the ability to go to the owner of the sign, which would be the name on the sign? Can we write an ordinance that would go to those people?
To the development they're advertising?
Or
I suppose they're the ones who are paying this.
That's what Delta
state law says. State law says that.
Delta
we just need
that.
To mirror the state law.
So the state law can go to the person whose name is on that sign and fine them, not the property owner.
State law says it will cost the advertiser $25 per sign.
The advertiser,
And $25 to get it back.
But there's no sign. There's nothing on the sign that
they're not worth $25 to get back.
There's no way to know who it is. Has to go to the person advertising on the sign.
Right.
Yeah, I think enforcement has to be against the subdivision that's paying the guy to take it down and put it up.
Right.
The advertiser. Right.
And again, the problem would be the fine's so minimal. When you're talking about the real estate, that's the area that's being advertised the most on the little signs, you know, $25 fine's not going to.
But if the state does the same thing and we do the same thing, it keeps doubling up. We both could fine the subdivision?
Well, if the state only gets involved if it's in state right away.
Correct.
So if it's on private property, then we would get involved.
So what they're doing is to beat the system, go to private property.
They moved it back.
They moved it behind the telephone pole.
Right.
They moved it just off. They almost look like they're in the same place. They're only a few feet
now,
from where
the person
they
gives them permission to do that, what
happens? That's still illegal.
No, it's an off-premise sign. It's illegal.
There's 99% of them don't have permission from the owner to even
I understand.
But they're not in our code. It's not permitted.
Even with permission.
Exactly. Now, I had a situation where a lady called me. She got upset because she got violated because of a sign. A developer was paying her to have one of these lean-to signs in her yard, which was on Route 26, directing them to a subdivision. So they were actually paying a private property owner in a little, you know, nice little rancher, nice little house, but right out in front of their house, and all the other residential homes, of course, didn't have any, but somebody complained about it. But I told her, yeah, I said, you know, it's just not permitted by code. So, but that's the situation. We're getting people that are riding around with a pickup load of them every Friday night, and they don't pick up half of them when you know, Monday comes around or Sunday night. So,
but one of the problems, too, is that our regulations make reference to directional sign, but then the state doesn't permit them.
Yeah.
So we have a problem there, too.
So we're going to go out on week. We're going to send people out on weekends.
If we had the ordinance, that would back us.
That would.
Have you got something written up so we can do that?
No, Rick's working on that.
That's all we need.
So we can get something, and it should mirror the state, but it's basically the same. We just have to reference private property.
Now, what are we working on when it comes to the flashing signs and all the other signs that are in violation?
The ordinance, to me, is out of date and had been out of date and goes all the way back to the 70s, and we're trying to bring it all up to standards, up to current. We've got our information from other counties. We've got information on the rolling, scrolling, flashing, blinking signs to try to make them a part of the ordinance if they're going to be permitted or not.
There will be state law by June.
And yeah, as Mr. Rogers said, there is state law being proposed for that same purpose. And well, we're one of two or three states that doesn't permit them right now.
Eight.
Okay.
Yeah, eight of them.
So we're still working on that issue.
We're looking at every district. We're not just looking at that issue. We're looking at everything related to signs.
Okay.
So we can try to bring the whole ordinance up.
Do you think Mr. Burl might have something within the next 3 months on an ordinance for the bandit signs anyway?
That would be a problem at all.
Okay.
Might be sooner than that.
All right. So what do you need this morning, Mr. Lang?
We're just providing you an update.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Mr. Baker, administrator's report.
There is an item ahead of the administrator's report.
The ordinance.
Pop up. Hey, you two got to quit. Hey, he's talking to you all.
There's an item ahead of the administrator's report, the ordinance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was...
You're only beginning this meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
And we have copies of an ordinance that we've discussed
several times,
and there have been a number of revisions to try to put it in the best form possible. This ordinance would apply to properties in an AR1 district that are within growth centers, town centers, developing areas, or environmentally sensitive developing areas. And as we discussed before, the ordinance would allow, with a conditional use in an AR1 growth area, a multifamily or townhouse structures with a maximum of 4 units per acre, and it would require 40% open space within the development, would require a 75-foot vegetative buffer from the numbered roads, and the buffer would include a mix of trees approved by a landscape architect. Expedited review would be allowable. Payment of a proffer fee for the additional units over 2 units would be to the county of to be used for open space or for recreation areas. And that fee is currently $15,000, except in the environmentally sensitive developing area where it's $20,000. And this fee would be used for open space and or recreation areas as approved by the county council with a 4/5 supermajority vote. Also, the ordinance would prohibit multifamily in AR1 non-growth areas, and that's pretty much it. That's we've had a number of versions of this and had some discussion before, but
I planned to introduce this a couple weeks ago, but our land use consultant contacted me and they had some suggestions which I thought were worthy, and I incorporated some of those suggestions into primarily the buffer language, which gives a little better definition of what that buffer should be. And I'd like to introduce that to that.
Could I ask you a question, Mr. Phillips?
Sure.
You just said that you you held it off last week because of the consultants.
A couple weeks ago, whatever it was.
And they gave you some suggestions, and you incorporated some, but not all. What were the ones you didn't incorporate?
I don't recall.
You don't recall? Interesting. I mean, just I just find it curious that we all weren't copied or somehow brought into the fold on the information that you were.
So this is
which did you put in here?
This is why you've been trying to get something done for 20 years and it hasn't gotten done.
Which did you put in here? This is a pro-growth, more density, and this is what this council has been supporting. So it's very difficult to introduce something that would restrict it. Great ordinance. Maybe we shouldn't permit this
I can answer your question partially.
Go ahead.
They suggested that townhouses be included, and they were. They suggested that dimensional requirements be included. They were thinking about townhouses that had specific defined boundaries where a subdivided piece of land went with a unit. This proposed ordinance doesn't go there. This is only multifamily where all the land must be used in common. They've made suggestions regarding the vegetated buffer. Let's see, that was pretty much what URDC suggested. They talked also, the one last thing they did talk about was whether there was an intent to include single family. And as you know, a person who wants to have a mix of single family and multifamily now uses the RPC. So the single family, it was thought better to keep the single family out of this because we're talking about a conditional use just for multifamily.
Well, how does this differ other than you're just paying for something? Yeah, how does this differ?
Well, it differs like on an RPC. The county doesn't get any bonus.
Well, under our conditional use, you could go for conditional use in the AR district, right, and get multifamily?
Well, under this ordinance, you could.
Today, can you do that?
Well, you got that catch-all.
Can you do that today?
Yes.
You can, but there's no fee. But after, if this ordinance is adopted, you won't be able to still do it without paying a bonus.
So the other ordinance is gone?
This negates the use of the catch-all for multifamily as a conditional use in an AR zone.
It's a good thing, Mr. Cole.
Except in the environmentally sensitive district, I could agree with you. It should be around the growth zones around those towns, like you see around.
The comprehensive plan talks about environmentally sensitive being considered a growth area.
I know what it considers. I understand that, whether you agree with it or not. That's the difference. Okay. Is I don't agree with it. You may agree with it, but I don't agree with it.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, Mr. Baker, let's move.
Finally, the administrator's report. First item is 911 Awareness Day, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, May 2nd, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. This program will target fifth grade students and will include safety booths regarding fire, medical, highway safety, electric hazards, and law enforcement. County and state dispatchers will provide a tour and attach to some information, and I don't know if any of the council might have a few minutes, that would I'm sure they'd appreciate your visit. The next is proposed Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District public hearing. The Sussex County Engineering Department will be conducting a public hearing at the Millsboro Volunteer Fire Hall, 109 East State Street, Millsboro, on Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 5th, at 9 a.m. Purpose of the hearing is to establish the boundaries of the proposed Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. And then the last item, Mrs. Webb noticed this, there is an article in Southern Living, May 2007 magazine, and you have copies attached and about Milton. And on the front page of the article is a picture of the county's Milton Library.
Thank you. Mr. Godwin.